Okay, well, today we're continuing our series, our study that we began several weeks ago called Growing Up. Growing up. You know, God wants us to grow up in our relationship, in our walk with Him. He wants us to grow closer to His Son, Jesus Christ, as the days and the weeks and the months go by. How many here today are glad that they are no longer 2 years old? I know I've said this before. A two-year-old is concerned about three people, right? We've all had interactions with 2 and 3 year olds. A 2 year old is concerned about me, myself, and I. A 2 year old does not have a good understanding of the world. He does not have a good understanding of how to develop relationships with other people. And, you know, I have in the past, we've seen 2 year olds, 3 year olds that don't get their way. Maybe they want that cookie from the cookie jar or that piece of candy that mom or dad won't give them, or they want something else and they don't get their way, and so what do they begin to do? They begin to stomp their feet, throw their fists up in the air, some of them, and they begin to cry and holler, right? But as that two-year-old gets older and becomes a teenager and an adult, he's able to let go of little offenses, little chips, right? He's able to forgive those things. And it's the same way with us spiritually. Friends, a lot of people remain 2 years old spiritually, holding on to chips, holding on to offenses. But as we grow in our relationship with God, we have got to let go of those chips. We have got to let go of those insults. In other words, we have got to forgive. And I think that's the mark of a spiritually mature Christian, or somebody who is spiritually maturing, is that he is able to forgive. And we talked about this last week. Forgiveness is what? Forgiveness is being able to let go, releasing a person of the debt or the apology you feel that that person owes you. That's the mark of a maturing person spiritually. You agree?
Amen.
We need to forgive others their offenses against us, just as God in Christ forgave us of our offenses against Him. You know, it's an eternal life versus an eternal death situation. Forgiveness versus unforgiveness is an eternal life versus an eternal death situation. If we walk in forgiveness toward our offenders, God will walk in forgiveness toward us. It's in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. But if we don't walk in forgiveness towards our offenders, we're standing on dangerous ground eternally. So I, in my life, I opt to forgive before the offense even comes my way. I opt to walk in a spirit of forgiveness. Say it with me today. I determine it on the inside to walk in a spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just like my God, who is a forgiver. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:1, in context, he says, be imitators of God. In that context of that scripture, he's saying, imitate God in the area of forgiveness. Now, today, I'd like to talk about another way to mature in your walk with Christ. Another way to mature in your walk with Christ, to grow deeper in your relationship with God. And it's called godly friendships. Godly friendships. Now, here's a revelation maybe for some of you. The people you build friendships with can either strengthen or weaken your spiritual walk with God. Let me say it again. The people you build close friendships with can either strengthen or weaken your walk with God. Friend, today you may be a toddler spiritually, or maybe you are a teenager spiritually, or maybe you are an adult spiritually. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, you have no business spending the majority of your time or fellowshipping with unbelievers. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, we have no business as believers in Christ fellowshipping with, spending the majority of our time with those who do not believe in Christ. Now, let me ask you this today. Are you serious about your walk with Christ and strengthening that walk? Are you serious about your walk with Jesus Christ? Are you serious about strengthening that walk with Jesus Christ? If you are, then you have no business joining yourself closely with someone who is not serious about their walk with Christ. You know, Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians has a lot to say about this subject in just a few verses. If you got your Bible, you want to turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. It's 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. Let me read it, and then we'll kind of dissect these verses, okay? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. He says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Verse 15. "What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" Verse 16. "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk amongst them. I will be their God and they will be my people." Verse 17. "Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Let's talk about these scriptures for the next few minutes. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. He says first, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. What is he saying? Don't be yoked. What does the word yoked mean in this passage? First, let me ask this. How many believers in Jesus Christ do we have in the room? Awesome. That's just about all of us. Good. He says, don't be yoked with unbelievers. What does the word yoked mean? Okay, he says attached. What else? What'd you say?
Coupled.
Okay. Associated with. He's saying, don't build friendships with unbelievers. He says, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? In other words, the godly have nothing in common with the ungodly and evil. You know, the ungodly and the godly cannot exist together in friendship, just as darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. Should I say it again? The ungodly and the godly, or the godly and the ungodly, cannot exist together, just as darkness
and light
cannot exist in the presence of light. Now, say this room is pitch dark at 12 midnight, right? It's really dark in this room.
Right.
It's just pitch dark. I walk in, I turn the switch on, the light comes on, and immediately the darkness is dispelled. The darkness and the light in this room cannot coexist. Friends, we are children of the light, followers of Jesus Christ. We cannot exist in close fellowship with unbelievers, with those that say, you know, this is my life. There's people out there that are rebellious against God and they say, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do with my life. They don't want to follow God. They're not serious about Christ. What right do we as believers who are following Christ have to build intimate friendships with those people? It should not be. And then in verse 15, Paul the Apostle stresses the point. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, a false god? What harmony is there between Christ and that which is devilish? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? He says in verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? In other words, what communion does God's temple have with idols? Idols meaning the ungodly, the devilish. In the Old Testament, where was God's temple? God's temple was where? It was what? Let me put it that way. If you read the Old Testament, God's temple was a physical building, right? And God's presence dwelt in the Holy of Holies. In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, what is God's temple? Today. Today, you and I are God's temple, are the temple of God, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3 says the same thing in verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? So Paul the Apostle is saying what in 2 Corinthians 6, 16? That the temple of God, this temple, we as believers in Christ should not have anything to do in close association with those who are ungodly and devilish. See, friend, there's a great danger in fellowshipping, building close ties with unbelievers. What's that danger that you can think of? If you're building close ties, spending a lot of your time with those who want nothing to do with Christ, who are not serious about God, what is the danger that is posed to you as a believer in Jesus Christ?
You will become an unbeliever.
Good. That's it. Their ways, their words, and their thoughts could be infectious and contagious.
Amen.
Just like the AIDS virus could be contagious, right? So if you're fellowshipping with, spending a lot of time with those people who are not serious about God, people that do not want to develop their relationship with Christ, that attitude could be infectious to you. Their ways, the thoughts of the ungodly, their actions could rub off on you if you become intimate in friendship with them. Just like somebody who becomes physically intimate with somebody who has the AIDS virus can catch that AIDS virus, right? So what do we need to do in order not to catch the ways of the world? Get away from them. Separate yourself from them. Don't flirt with the world and its ways, friends. But the Christian walk is a tight walk. It's a narrow walk, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7. For instance, let's say you have overcome some addiction in your life. Maybe a cigarette addiction. Maybe a drug addiction, maybe an addiction to alcohol, maybe an addiction to looking at something with your eyes you should not be looking at. Let's say you overcame that addiction, but then you begin fellowshipping with, spending a lot of time with somebody who is dealing with the same addiction that you once dealt with. Whether it be drugs, alcohol, looking at something that's wrong, cigarettes. You know, you've overcome that addiction, but then you start fellowshipping with this person who is going through the very same thing you once went through. What's the danger here? Is it possible that if you spend too much time with that person could tempt you to go down that same wrong road again?
Yeah.
The danger exists. Would you agree?
Yeah.
All right. So, hence, what does Paul tell us in verse 17? In verse 17, he says, because the danger is there that the ways of the world can rub off on you as a believer. He says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will receive you. He's saying this. Don't become intimate in friendship with those people in the world, just as you would not become physically intimate with somebody who is infected with AIDS. Right?
Amen.
Since the ways and the thoughts and the actions and the words of the world could rub off on you if you spend too much time with the world, he's saying, because that danger exists, come out from amongst them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing. Touch no unclean fellowship with unbelievers. Don't become intimate with those people in friendship just as you would not become physically intimate with somebody who's got HIV. Would you agree? How many here would become physically intimate with somebody who is infected with the AIDS virus? It wouldn't be wise, right?
That's right.
It wouldn't be wise. Well, in the same way, spiritually, let us not soil ourselves, okay, with those who want nothing to do with God, with those who are flirting with the world, with those who are not serious about Jesus Christ. You know, God loves you, friends. And as you grow in your relationship with God, as you grow closer to Christ, He is going to bestow His blessings upon your life in a greater measure, day by day, week by week, month by month. You know, and as you continue to walk with God, He's going to bless you in different areas, financially, emotionally, spiritually, in friendships, whatever area it may exist in your life. God is going to bless you. But if you turn back to the world that you came out of, it's like a slap in the face of God who is wanting to bless you. But if you separate yourself from the unclean, 2 Corinthians 6:18, He says, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Are we getting the point here today?
Yes.
We're not to do what? If we want to grow in our relationship with God, we're not to do what? We're not to fellowship and spend a lot of time with what? With those who are dabbling in the world, they're flirting with the world, with those who love the world and are not serious about God. Do you agree?
Amen.
All right. Now, think about this. If you see yourself being drawn to friendship with the ungodly, with those who are spiritually weaker than you, then you need to be concerned. You know, worry and concern are not good things. But in this case, this is a good concern. It's a godly concern. Let me say it again. If you find yourself being drawn into fellowship with those who are not serious about God, those who want control of their own lives, those who care not about Christ, if you find yourself being drawn into relationships, spending a lot of time with those types of people, you need to be concerned about your spiritual state. Why? Because you are known, I am known by those that we keep fellowship with. You are known by the people you hang out with. It's a saying in the world. How many have heard birds of a feather flock together? Isn't that right? You're going to find a bunch of pigeons flocking together, right? You're not going to find pigeons with eagles, most likely. You're going to find pigeons with pigeons, right? So if you're spending a lot of time and you find yourself being drawn, you know, making close ties to those who are ungodly, you need to be concerned. You need to ask yourself, why am I being drawn into relationship, into fellowship with those who are weaker than me spiritually? With those who are not serious about God. You know, that might be an indicator. If you're being drawn and you're joining to people who are not serious about God, that can be an indicator of your spiritual walk with God. And that something needs to be done about it. You need to stand before God and say, God, you know what? It seems like I'm being drawn to these people who are taking me down spiritually. God, give me the strength to say no, to separate myself from them. God, what should I do to grow in my walk with you? God, give me the strength not to be fellowshipping with these people, to be spending so much time with them, God. You can do it, God. Give me your strength and your grace in Jesus' name. And God will do it, friends. Now, let's turn one book back, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And this is what Paul the Apostle writes. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, you got to understand, amongst the Corinthians, there were those who were believers, some historical overviews here, and there were those who were unbelievers amongst the Corinthians. And there were some false teachers going out there amongst the Corinthians, the believers, and saying that there was no resurrection from the dead. And so, for a majority of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul defends the resurrection from the dead. And he's basically saying, you know what? These guys are bad dudes. These people who are saying that there is no resurrection from the dead, those people are bad company. And if you associate with bad company, if you fellowship with them, it will corrupt your good character. In other words, those people that are teaching you, Corinthians, that there is no resurrection from the dead, can pull you down spiritually. Because bad company corrupts good character. What was Paul trying to say to the Corinthians? trying to say, don't associate with those teachers, those false teachers that are teaching that there is no resurrection from the dead. Separate yourself from them. Because on the other hand, I think the opposite is true. That good company, godly company, does what? It builds character. Good answer. It strengthens your walk with God. It strengthens your relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you may have heard me tell this story before, but back about 4 months ago, back in March of 2009, I watched this movie, and some of you may have, called Touch the Top of the World. How many here have seen Touch the Top of the World? It's a true story. It's about a man named Eric Weinmeier, a blind man, the first blind man to summit Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. And it was a three-month process to climb this mountain. And he eventually got to the very top of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, a blind man at that. And as you watch the movie, it's a great movie if you can rent it and watch it, Touch the Top of the World. Why was Eric able to get to the top of Mount Everest? And if you watch the movie, you find out he was associated with other men that were stronger than him in the sense that they had their physical sight. He was blind climbing Mount Everest, but these other men around him that he was in fellowship with had their physical sight, so they helped guide him. They encouraged him a little bit. And he was with this group of men who was climbing the mountain, and so eventually he got to the top of the mountain because he was associating with people stronger than him in the sense that they could see physically. And if, friends, there's a spiritual application here. If you want to get to the top, if you want to climb in your relationship with God, if you want to strengthen your walk with Christ, you have got to hang out, you've got to fellowship, you've got to associate and build friendships with those who are stronger than you spiritually. Amen? Making sense today? Now, let me ask you this question. How can the godly help you grow spiritually? How can the godly, those stronger than you spiritually, how can they help you grow spiritually? In several ways. What's one of the ways? Okay, exhortation. Anybody else?
By talking godly words.
That's good. By talking godly words, because good words are also contagious. You hear good words, good words in, good words out. Right?
Speaking the Bible.
One of the ways that associating with the godly can help you grow spiritually is in the area of prayer.
Amen.
Let's turn to James 5, verse 16. It's talking about a person who's sick and a person who has sinned. And he says in James 5, 16, he writes in James 5, 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You may be sick in your physical body, friends, or you may be dealing with a sin or a weakness in your life. But if you're in association with a believer who is a prayer warrior, stronger than you in the area of prayer, and you tell this person, hey, you know what, I'm dealing with this weakness, this sin in my life, I can't seem to overcome it. And this prayer warrior goes to war on your behalf in the spiritual realm. Guess what? Eventually you will overcome that weakness because you're in association and fellowship with somebody who is stronger than you spiritually in the area of prayer. So this person is praying for you. And God and His angels go to work on your behalf. Amen? Dealing with those who are stronger than you in the area of prayer. Another way that the godly can help grow you spiritually. In what way? Is by doing what?
Reading
the Word. Studying the Bible. How can you study the Bible, say, with other believers? By getting involved with anybody? A group session like this, okay, this is a little bigger than a cell group, but getting involved with home Bible fellowships or some type of Bible fellowship even here at John 3:16. This, in a sense, is a Bible study right here. In Acts 2:42, talking about the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Devoting yourself with others to the Word of God and studying it. You know what? You may have read a scripture or a passage numerous times before, right? But somebody else that you're studying the Bible with may see that passage in a way that you've never seen it. And God may give you some spiritual revelation through this other person on a scripture, a revelation that you've never seen before. And it grows you spiritually in that area. Why? Because you are in fellowship with somebody who is serious about studying the Word of God. Making sense? All right. Another way that you can grow spiritually by hanging out with the godly, fellowshipping with the godly, is by doing group outreaches with others. You know, there's somebody out there that's in greater need than you. There's somebody out there tonight that's going to sleep under a bridge or on a street corner. You've got this shelter over your head with AC. That's awesome, right? You know, you can get together with some other believers and start reaching out to those people. And as you do that, it will grow you spiritually. You've got accountability there. You know, you go out together in twos or in threes, reaching out to the streets and the city of downtown Tulsa. It can help grow you spiritually. You might be wondering today, well, Jonathan, where do I go about finding these people that I can become friends with that are spiritually stronger than me, that are more serious about God than I am? Where do I go about finding these people? Anybody have any ideas? Where do you go about finding these people? Where is it? Church, that's good. That's a good answer. Anybody else? You can find these people in chapel services here at John 3:16, but you can also find them, as I said earlier, in a... Oh, are you? Okay. That's good. You can find them in home Bible fellowships, connect groups, cell groups. You got to get involved, friends. If you just sit around all day and don't build relationships with Christians, it's never going to happen. You've got to be proactive. You've got to get up and do something about it. You know, making an effort to build those friendships, find those people who are stronger than you spiritually. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So say it with me now. This week,
I will commit
to begin finding those people who are stronger than me
spiritually
in different areas. Church services, chapel services, maybe a Bible study. And God, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here today, God, that you lead them and guide them and show them which people they're to bind themselves to fellowship with, to build those intimate friendships within their lives. And I want to make one final note here today, friend, and it's this. That say you've got 10 hours in a week to spend with people. 10 hours in a week. See, I'm not trying to discount in my message hanging out with those who are weaker than us spiritually. But say you've got 10 hours in a week to hang out with people. You should put a short amount of that time into reaching out to those that are weaker than you, as I just said.
Right.
Maybe 2 or 3 hours a week, reaching out to those who are sleeping on the streets. But the majority of your 10 hours a week that you have to spend with people should be spent fellowshipping with those who are stronger than you. We don't want to discount the weaker, the less fortunate than us. We still want to spend some time with them, and the time we spend with them is reaching out to them with the love of God.
Amen.
But we're not going to make close fellowship ties with those people. Amen?
Amen.
Unless God tells you absolutely to do it. In Jesus' name. All right? Makes sense? Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray for my brothers today, my sisters concerning this issue of godly friendships. God, I just pray and I thank you that you're going to show each and every single one of us this week who to build those ties with, who to fellowship with, who to build godly friendships with in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you're going to send miraculously across our paths those people as we're doing our part to look for those friendships in Jesus' name. We give you the praise and the honor today. Let this stick with us for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.